Okay, good morning everyone. So we have a number of housekeeping items. First of all, I want to thank Flora Reich and for sponsoring today in honor, or I guess in celebration of Isaac being healthy. Where's Isaac? Where'd he go? How are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah? Okay, Baruch Hashem. Well, you didn't get hurt in a car accident, and we are grateful for that. So Baruch Hashem. We also, we're going to add on a few other names to keep in mind. Sagi ben Chana, who's having surgery today. Yehuda Leib ben Adina Batya, who's also having surgery this morning. And a member of this class who couldn't be here, but one of the regulars, whose daughter is in need of Refuah Shleima. She texted me just now. Devorah Shoshana Bas Rivka Chana Chava. So we'll learn in... And for a merit, for a Refuah Shleima for everybody. Well, everyone could have in their own names. And also, it's my grandfather's yahrzeit, so we'll keep in mind also Moshe Leib ben Shraga Feivel. Okay, what I want to do is a little bit different than some of our previous classes, and that is go to the last page first. Right. So where we've been very text-heavy up until now, we're going to be text-heavy in a different way, but not necessarily in the Parakatilim. We're going to read this morning one of my favorite chapters of Tehillim. It's chapter 136. Now, chapter 136, we read on Shabbos mornings, of course. It's not in our everyday...
What page, Rabbi? At the four. Page four.
No, you have the wrong sheet. Okay, I didn't make enough. I'm sorry. And the office is closed today. So,
it's enough.
It's one of my favorite Parakim of Tehillim. We read it on Shabbos mornings. And it is absent from our davening on the weekdays. So it's a unique parakatilim. When else do we read this chapter of Tehillim?
Pesach
at the Seder night. Right smack in the middle of the Hallel section of Pesach, we read this. But we read it every Shabbos morning, and it's a beautiful chapter of Tehillim. And if you look at it, just to appreciate some of the words, we say, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam chasdo, we give thanks to Hashem, for his kindness is everlasting. Now, why are we reading this today? Because obviously it's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and we said Hallel today. So I want to speak about this within the context of Hallel, and to understand a little bit more some of the praise that we give to Hashem, right? Isaac, we're giving praise this morning that you weren't in a car accident, or you weren't hurt in the car accident. So I want to talk about that notion of giving praise to Hashem. It's 26 verses. The Gemara already discusses why that number 26 is special and unique. And if you just go through it pretty quickly, you'll get a sense that it really takes you through Jewish history or through the history of Tanakh. We start off with Hashem creating the world. Hodu l'Elokei Elokim. He's the God of all gods, the God of all lords. He created miracles. Osei Shamayim. Then in line 5, he made the heavens. Line 6, he made the land, he made light, he made the sun, he made the stars. And then we really pivot in verse 10 from talking about God as the God of creation to all of a sudden, Lamakei Mitzrayim Bivchoreihem, that he also didn't just create the world, but he also took care of us at the time of the Exodus, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that basically takes you through the end of the chapter. What I want to do is explore this chapter through the prism of Chazal. Because Chazal have a very funny name for this chapter of Tehillim. And it's called Hallel HaGadol. Now let's just translate those words. Hallel, we of course know, means praise. And Gadol means big. So the big praise. Now, if I were in high school, or my son, and I asked, why is this called the big praise? He would say, because it's 26 verses. That's a lot to say, and especially on Shabbos morning, when you got to get from beginning to end in 17 minutes, or they're going to be flying ahead without you. So you got to say this pretty quickly, so it's the big Hallel. Why did Chazal call it Hallel HaGadol? And what message does that have for us? Now, what makes this even more striking is the fact that oftentimes the Gemara will compare and contrast different, let's say, prakim of Tehillim, chapters of Tehillim, or different words of praise for Hashem. And if you'll notice, when Hallel HaGadol, our chapter, the big Hallel, is put up against other chapters of Tehillim, it loses every time. Every single time. So let's look. Source number one on your page, the Gemara in Shabbos. And again, everything here, with the exception of one source, two sources, has English. So, but I'll translate those as well. Amar of Yossi, Yehemi Chelki Me'ochle Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos, that my portion should be amongst those who eat three meals on Shabbos. That's a lot easier to do in the summer months than it is in the winter months, especially for people that don't have very large stomachs and get full very quickly. Amar of Yossi, and then Rav Yossi continues to say, Yehi Chelki Me'gomre Halal B'chol Yom, that my portion should be amongst those who say Halal every single day, who sing praise to Hashem. Says the Gemara, Ini, is this so? V'hamar mar, but don't we also say that HaKorei Halal B'chol Yom Harei Zeh Mecharef U'Megadev, that anyone who sings Halal every day is a blasphemous individual. It's heretical to sing Halal every single day. So you, Rav Yossi, which one is it? Are you supposed to praise Hashem every single day, or are you not supposed to praise Hashem every single day? Answers the Gemara, Ki Kamrinan, when do we say that you should say Halal every single day? That is Psukei D'Zimra. Psukei D'Zimra, we're talking specifically about two of the Halalukas in Psukei D'Zimra, but it's really the construct of Psukei D'Zimra. Psukei D'Zimra, Ashrei, Halaluka, those are things that we should be saying every single day. What shouldn't we be saying every single day? We should not be saying the Halal that we said this morning every single day, what we would colloquially refer to as Halal. Now, why is someone who says Halal every single day blasphemous? Right? That's what the Gemara just said, that if I were to, at the end of davening this morning, right at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, we went to Halal. Says the Gemara, if I do that every single day, I am a heretical person. Why? Why? What is the difference between what we colloquially refer to as Halal and Psukei D'Zimra? What's the difference between the two of them? So we have to figure that out. We're not fully certain of that yet. But what we do know is that when Halal, what we call Halal HaMitzri, right, which is the classical way that our colloquial Halal is referred to, versus Psukei D'Zimra, so what wins out? Psukei D'Zimra. Psukei D'Zimra, we are told it's good to say every single day, but our colloquial Halal, what we refer to as Halal, that you are not supposed to say every single day. So Psukei D'Zimra against normal Halal, Psukei D'Zimra wins out. Go to source number two. Says the Gemara in Psachim, V'chi me'acher di'ika Halal hagado, anan ma'itayma amrinan hai. If we have something called Halal Hagadol, our chapter of Tehillim, Parak 136, and that's called Halal Hagadol, the big Halal, anan ma'itayna amrinan hai. So why do we say normal Halal? This morning, Rosh Chodesh, at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, we turn to, I don't know, I used to know the art scroll page. I don't know the Koran age. 616, whatever it is. So we turn to page 616, and we say classic Halal. Ask the Gemara, why didn't we just say this chapter of Tehillim? If this is the big Halal, if this is the big, grand way to thank Hashem, wouldn't this have been the preferable thing to have said this morning? Says the Gemara, Mishum Shiyesh Bo Chamisha Dvarim Halalu. Because standard Halal, the one that you and I said this morning, has five things. Yesiyas Mitzrayim, it talks about the exodus of Egypt. Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Tchias Amesim, resurrection of the dead. And Chevel Shel Mashiach, the travails that prelude Mashiach. So says the Gemara, because classic Halal has components that are absent from our chapter of Tehillim, which one's better? Which one do we say on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah, on Sukkot, on, right, which one do we say? So this one loses out. We say page 616 because 616 has things that this does not. So if we're keeping score at home, so far, right, we have Ashrei against classic Halal. Which one won? Ashrei. We have classic Halal versus Halal Hagadol. Which one won? Classic Halal. So Halal Hagadol right now is not looking so gadol. It's not looking so great. Well, there's one more Gemara that I want to show you. Turn the page. This is a Gemara in Brachos. Says the Gemara in Brachos, Amar Rav Elezer, Amar Rav Avina. Kol ha'omer tihilah le'David b'chol yom shalosh pa'amim. Anyone who says Ashrei three times a day, Muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. He is guaranteed entrance in the world to come. Guaranteed admission. Easy price to pay. Ashrei three times a day. Says the Gemara, my taima. Well, that's a pretty good get out of jail free card, right? That's a pretty good admission fee. So what is the reason? Ilema mishum de asya ba'alef beis. If you want to say that chapter 145, in other words, Ashrei goes in the order of the Aleph Beis. Neima Ashrei to mimederech dasya betimna ape. So you should read a different chapter of Tehillim, chapter 119, which is very, very long, which has eight repetitions of the Aleph Beis. Ela mishum, rather, must be de is bei poseach yadecha. Maybe because it talks about poseach es yadecha must be alechol chayratzon. We say Hashem, open up your hands, satiate us, provide us with sustenance. Well, if that's the case, says the Gemara, neima halal hagadol. Maybe then the entrance fee into the world to come should be our chapter of Tehillim. Why? Because what's the second to last verse of our chapter in Tehillim? And on your line, it's line 25. No sein lechem lecho basar, ki lelam chasto. We recognize, we thank Hashem for providing us with food. Same exact thing as poseach es yadecha must be lecho charetzon. So says the Gemara, what is so special about Ashrei? Here you tell me that Ashrei is the easy money back guaranteed entrance fee into the world to come. Non press, says the Gemara. What's so special about it? Maybe it goes in the Aleph Beis. I got better Prakim of Tehillim if you tell me the Aleph Beis. Maybe it's that it talks about Hashem sustaining us, providing food, delicious coffee. By the way, we don't just thank Hashem for the coffee. Right? What are we thanking Hashem for? It's much more than that. Well, let me ask you a question. If your coffee smelled like, you know when you're driving down like Sample Road on the turnpike and you get that waft from the, right? So if your coffee smelled like that, would you be drinking it?
No.
No, right? What's the powerful part about coffee? It's the smell, it's the look, it's the taste, it's the experience of coffee. Think about when you, though, which one was it? The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup, and Maxwell's, whatever.
Yeah, Folgers, you're right.
What's the commercials, if you watch the commercials, they're not selling you on the coffee. They're selling you on the experience of the coffee. Look at the advertisements. What comes up from the coffee? Like this, like they have those like little waves, because they want you to think more about, almost as much about the smell as they do. Let's be honest, coffee tastes like terrible. That's why we dilute it with creamer that makes it taste like coconut cream and all these wonderful things. I don't know, every 5 days my wife comes up with a new flavor, right? But that's what we're thanking Hashem for. It's not just that he gave us coffee, but he created us with senses that are able to appreciate the coffee. Smell, taste, sight, right? If your hot dog looked green, you wouldn't be as excited by it. So we manipulate sight in order to appreciate things. Anyways, I digress. So nesein lechem lecho basar, we're thanking Hashem for sustenance. That my oatmeal and my coffee and my whatever barbecue you're going to have today. So says the Gemara, what makes halal hagadol so gadol? So I'm saying, what makes Ashrei so impressive? It's the easy way to get into Olam Haba. Aleph Beis, I'm not impressed. The fact that Hashem sustains us, I'm not impressed, because I could read this chapter of Tehillim, our chapter of Tehillim, 136. So rather, answers the Gemara, Ella, Mishum de'is beitarti. Ashrei is good because it has both of them. It's both goes in the Aleph Beis, and it references the fact that Hashem sustains every living being, that Hashem puts food and water on our table. So if you're keeping score, which I did for you on the bottom of page 2, because it's July 4th and we're thinking of America's favorite pastime.
And hot dogs.
So you have, in a fight between Halal HaMitzri, Halal HaMitzri is what we call classic Halal, and Ashrei, Ashrei one. In a clash between Halal HaGadol, which is our chapter 136 of Tehillim, and Halal HaMitzri, which is the classic Halal one. In a clash between Ashrei and Halal HaGadol, Ashrei won. So you have Ashrei, it got cut off. Ashrei is 2-0. That seems to win every time. Halal HaMitzri is 1-1 because it wins against our chapter of Tehillim but loses to Ashrei. And then Halal HaGadol, you can go fill that in right now because it's 0-2. It loses out to both. So the Gemara itself sets us up for failure. Because on the one hand, it tells us that it's called Halal HaGadol. It's the big halal. There's something very impressive and important about it. On the other hand, I read three Gemaras with you this morning, and Halal Hagadol, our chapter of Tehillim, which might be beautiful, and it has the words, Ki Lelam Chasdo, that we thank Hashem, because His kindness is everlasting. Beautiful, magnificent words. But at the end of the day, loses to Hashrei, loses to the Halal we said this morning. Why? Why? So first you have to figure out why it's called Halal Hagadol, Big Rabbi. Okay? Big Rabbi. So if you look on source 4 here, the Gemara Pesachim tells us why it's called the Big Halal. Vilama Nikra Shmo Halal Hagadol. Why is it called Big Halal if there's not really anything big about it? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Bimnesha Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam, Umechalek Mizonos Lecho Bria. What makes it Halal Hagadol? That Hashem sits in the heights of the universe, and He distributes food to every creature. That, says the Gemara, is why we call it Halal Hagadol. And I want to develop that a little bit with you now to fully appreciate what this chapter is teaching us and what exactly the Gemara just communicated to us. That on the one hand, Hashem is Omed Barumo Shalolam. Hashem is what we'll call Big God. B with a capital B and a capital G. Big God. On the other hand, He's Mechalek Mizonos Lechobria. He also distributes food to every creature. That, says the Gemara, despite the fact that it loses to Ashrei and it loses to Halal, what we call classic Halal, nonetheless, it is referred to as, in the Gemara itself, Halal Hagadol. It is the great Halal. Now, what makes this so great? What makes the fact that Hashem distributes food to every creature so great? Didn't we just read that Ashrei does the same thing? What do we read in Ashrei? Poseach es yadecho, maspiel lechol charetzon. We acknowledge that Hashem opens up His hands, umaspiel lechol charetzon. He satiates every person. Why don't we call Ashrei Halal Hagadol? What's unique about this chapter of Tehillim that makes it worthy of that description of Halal Hagadol? So if you turn to page number 3, I want to share with you a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Maseches Tainis, which talks about the following scenario. That in olden times, when you lived in an agricultural cycle, so you literally lived or died by rain. Okay, my pool guy was just at my house yesterday. He wanted to know, when's the last time I filled up my pool? I said, I don't know, that's why you're the pool guy, right? that's why I pay you. He said, well, you got to fill up your pool. You might have a leak. I said, no, I'm pretty sure science, humidity, water, evaporation, like I learned that at some point, right? I know my American history a lot better than I know my evaporation. But it hasn't rained a lot recently. So when it doesn't rain, so pools get low. So he told me I have to raise it. Fine. First world problems. Back in ancient times, antiquity, and even nowadays, and obviously many parts of the world, you live and die by rain. So the Gemara used to present a scenario where when it didn't rain for a certain period of time, they would have fast days. There would be a series of fast days, depending on how critical the situation was. They would fast a certain amount. So the Mishnah tells us the following. That they would fast. And then it says, the fifth line down in the Hebrew, and I'm going to be in the English in a second. Okay? Masa shegazru tanis belud. So there was an incident where a fast was declared because of a drought in the city of Lud. V'yardu lahem geshamim kodem chatzos. So everyone comes into shul in the morning. They're davening, right? Fast means starvation. Okay? There's no other food. No produce. Animals die. People die. That's pretty much how it goes. So imagine sanctuary, Boker Ton synagogue is packed. Everyone's up, crack of dawn, in the morning. Desperation is kicking in. Davening so hard that by midday already, the skies open up and the rain starts pouring down. Right? Now that's pretty cool. That's called immediate gratification. So what happens? Amar lehem Rav Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says back to them, and again, you have the English on the left there. Amar lehem Rabbi Tarfon. Tzu v'ichlu ushesu v'asuyantim. He says, this is amazing. I want everyone to get out of here, go home, and have a beautiful, delicious, scrumptious, luxurious yantim meal. V'yatsu v'achlu v'shasu v'asuyantim. He says, They all went home. They had these delicious meals. Uba'u bein arba'im v'karu halal. And then they came back in the afternoon, and they sang praise to Hashem. Now, what is the obvious question here?
Why didn't they say it right away?
Why didn't they say it right away? See, Molly understands shul programming, right? And the way shul programming works is that when you have a captive audience,
don't let them leave.
You do not give that up, come hell or high water, right? Like you, if people are in shul, you lock the doors and keep them a captive audience. The worst thing you can do is let them go. Let them go. And then expect them to come back, right? Can you imagine? Just let's play out the following scenario, okay? Rosh Hashanah morning. So we've davened Rosh Hashanah, we've blown the shofar, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, your stomach is growling, your food is getting burnt on the blech, whatever the case might be. And Rabbi Goldberg were to get up in shul and say, I'm not going to give my drusha right now. I want everyone to go home, eat, drink, build your blood sugar levels, right? And then in an hour, I want everyone to come back. I'm going to give my drusha, right? So if there's 700 people in shul, when he makes that announcement, how many people are going to come back in the afternoon?
10.
No, well, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say 100, right?
That's
when you have a captive audience, you do not give it up. So what in the world is going on here? Why would Rav Tarfon send people home, say, go, eat your meal, drink your wine, and then I want you to come back in the afternoon? Why would he do that? So says the Bartanura, which is on the left-hand side, right there, and this is one of the three sources that we'll not have English for, but I'll read it. It's just two lines. Says the Bartanura, why does he do this? Vilo amarlem kiru halal hagadol tchila. He doesn't say, read, halal hagadol tchila. Halal hagadol, which is our chapter of Tehillim. Why can't you say this immediately? She'ein korin halal hagadol. Ela bekares melea v'nefesh svea. Bekarim, excuse me. Bekarim, keres, yeah. Keres melea v'nefesh svea. You can only read this chapter of Tehillim if your belly is full. If you've had to, I guess only the guys here know, when you have to like undo a knot on the belt, usually that happens on like Thanksgiving and whatever, maybe tonight even.
Every Shabbos,
right? So says the Bartanur, an amazing idea. You can only say this chapter of Tehillim if you're full, if you're completely satiated. Why? What does this chapter have to do with being full? So the answer, of course, is what? Why do we call it Halal Hagadol? The Gemara told us, why is it called Halal Hagadol? Why is it called the big Halal? There's nothing big about it. It loses to Ashrei. Right, so on the one hand, your belly's big, right? Why is it called big Halal? Because what did the Gemara say? That it is Hashem is sitting Berumo Shalola, and he gives food, Umechalek Mizonos Lechobria. He gives food to every individual. Now, if you're starving, if you're really hungry, don't forget, at this point in the drought, they've already been dwindling. In other words, you've already been limited on what it is you are and are not allowed to eat. So people are pretty hungry at this point. It starts raining outside. What do you think halal would be like if everyone's bellies are rumbling and tumbling, they know that food is out there, they're itching to get out of there, and he said, sing halal now? Wouldn't work, says the Bartanur. The only way you can fully appreciate this chapter of Tehillim is if you have a satiated stomach. You can only say the words, notein lechem lecho basar, ki le'olam chasto, you can only thank Hashem for giving you the food if you yourself have already experienced that sense of gratitude. If you've only experienced that experience, that sense of gift.
Put it at the end of the Seder?
Well, hold up. Maybe. Yeah. Well, by then you're like, no, that's for a different reason. We'll get to. Okay. So, nosein lechem lecho basar, according to the Bartanura, is not just a part of Halal Hagadol, of our chapter 136 of Tehillim, but it is the part of Tehillim. That is the most important part. So much so that if your stomach isn't full, you can't in good faith say this chapter of Tehillim, because what aren't you going to appreciate? You're not going to appreciate the line when you're saying it. So even though you haven't eaten since breakfast, or the night before, whatever the case might be, but you can't say the words, no, say lechem lechobasar, until you really mean it. Because those are the central part. That is the central part of this chapter of Tehillim. Notein lechem l'chobasar, we thank Hashem for giving us food. Now, if that's the case, so my next question is, I am no mathematician. I'm actually atrocious at math. But I'm good enough to know that there are 26 verses in what we now call Halal HaGadol. According to the Gemara, according to the Mishnah, we're focusing on one of the verses. Right? Verse 25. Nosein lechem lecho basar ki lelem chasto Hashem. Thank you so much for my coffee. Your kindness is everlasting. What about the other 25 verses? There are 25 other verses in here which seem to be completely ignored in the description of what makes this Halal HaGadol. Unless you read our Gemara in Pesachim a little bit more carefully. Because if you go back to source number 4, the Gemara didn't just tell us that Hashem gives food to everybody. The Gemara actually told us something before that. And that holds the key in my mind to this chapter of Tehillim. The Gemara told us, She'akadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam, that Hashem stands or sits in the highest heights, U Mechalek Mezonos L'Choperia, and He gives food. Now, and means that there are really two things going on here. This and that. They're not one and the same. They are two separate and distinct entities going on. So there's two elements of praise here. Number one is that Hashem sits in the heights of the world, Berumo Shel Olam, and He also gives us food. Bless Him. Bless you. Those two things are generally mutually exclusive. What we call big God and little God. Big God is the God of the heavens and the earth. It's the God who created the universe. It's the God who split the sea. It's God that is distant from me. It is God that is transcendent. Okay? There's another relationship with Hashem that we have. And that's not a transcendent, distant relationship, but that's a very real and practical relationship. It's very nice, God, that you created the world. That doesn't help me on Thursday, July 4th. What do I care about today? That my heart was working this morning, that there's food on my... I care about very mundane, specific, day in and day out blessings from Hashem. Those are not one and the same. In fact, we have two different words. I spoke about this a little bit at Mincha Maariv last night. We have two different words to use to relate to Hashem in those different respects. One is the word atah. You, Baruch Atah Hashem, there's an intimacy there. There's a closeness to that relationship. And so when you and I sit in Shemona Esrei and we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rofecho Basar Mafli Lasot, you Hashem who heals us. So it's as if, it's not as if, I am talking directly to someone. And in fact, we're learning this wonderful sefer called Tikkun Tfilasi in Mincha Maariv. He says one of the ways to train yourself to do it, it sounds pretty hokey, but to sit opposite someone and to say the word, Ata, you, you, you. Now, why does he recommend doing that? Because what you're ingraining within yourself is just as... I'll pick on Gigi because I picked on Molly last time. I'll pick on Gigi now, right? But just as real as Gigi is in front of me, and I get used to when I say the word, Ata, I feel the presence of someone else. So too now, when I go into my Shemona Esrei and I say Baruch Atah, I'm not thinking of Gigi anymore, but I'm thinking of Hashem. The word Atah now means something to me. It means that there's presence. And he says, right, if I refer to Gigi as you, Atah, At, so I'm not creating the presence of Gigi. Gigi's there the whole time. What am I simply doing? I'm affirming that knowledge. I'm giving validation to the fact that she's there. So when I say Baruch Atah Hashem, I'm not creating Hashem's presence. Hashem is in front of me, the same way you're all in front of me. I'm simply giving acknowledgement to that. So the word atah we use in davening as a form of intimacy. It's a closeness. There's a deep relationship there. There's a different word that we use to refer to Hashem, and that is who. He, right? Who in English, he, H-E. The word who is a much more distant description of Hashem. Hu Elokeinu, Einod. He is God. There's none like Him. Right? When we talk about Hashem as creating the heavens and the earth, you don't use the word Atah. You use the word who. It's a more transcendent word. It's a distant word. It's talking about what I call big God. So whereas the word atah is Hashem little God, of course, God is never little, but little in the sense that he is so close to me, the word who represent distant God. He is transcendent. He is above me. He's beyond me. He's something that is almost beyond my comprehension. That's what the Gemara here is telling us. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshe Berumo Shalolam. God is who? He is transcendent. He's distant. He did things that I can't even comprehend, and that gives me what we call in Hebrew a Yirat HaRomamut. This awe and reverence of God. This God that is incomprehensible to me because I can't fathom what the world was like before creation. I can't fathom how God created the world. These words, I understand them intellectually, but I can't really, they're beyond my realm of comprehension. He is infinite, I am finite, there are certain things I'll never understand. And yet, umechalek mezonos lechobria. At the very same moment that he is big God, he's also little God. He's relatable to us. He cares about us on a day in and day out basis. He cares about our mundane, daily, trivial needs, like providing us with coffee and with food on our table. So the Gemara is telling us that what makes halal hagadol, isn't just that it's one or the other. It's not just that he's the what I'll call the God of history, big God, but that he's also little God, that he cares about our most intimate daily needs. Now go to the chapter of Tehillim, the page 4, the last page in your packet. And now it reads beautifully. Because if you think about it, there are really three sections to this chapter of Tehillim. Section 1 is verses 1 through 9. And you can draw a big line there. 1 through 9 refers to Hashem as the creator of the universe. That is what we call big God. Yoshe Berumo Shalolam. God is incomprehensible to us. He's transcendent. Ose Shamayim. Rokea Aretz. Ose Orim Gedolim. He made the heavens. He made the earth. He created light. He created the sun, the moon, the stars. He is the creator of the universe, something you and I can't really fathom, can't really comprehend. It gives us this awe and reverence to Hashem. Then you have basically Psukim 10 all the way through 24, which we'll call, talks about God in history. He didn't just create the universe and abandon the world, but Hashem created the universe and remained actively involved in the historical destiny of the Jewish people. He killed the firstborn sons in Egypt. Verse 11, Yotzei Yisrael mitocham, he took us out of Egypt. Biyad chazakah, zonetiyah, he did it with a strong hand. Ligozer yamzuf ligzarim, pasuk 13, he split the sea. Ve'avir Yisrael betocho, he took us through it. Vinier paro v'chilo biyamzuf, he cast paro and his army into the sea. Right? This is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then, in verse 18, 17, 18, 19, 20, you go on a journey of Sefer Bamidbar, basically, which we're going to start reading next week with Chukas and Balak and Matos Masei, where you have Sichon and Og and all these stories that we don't really pay attention to in the Torah. We read about it right here, which basically means Hashem didn't just take us out of Mitzrayim, but as he escorted us through the desert, so he protected us. He helped us win battles over our enemies. Okay, so you have verses 1 through 9 are the God of creation. Verses 10 through 24 is the God of history. Hashem is intimately involved in the historical narrative of the Jewish people. They didn't just create the world and abandon us, but he has guided us throughout history, however tumultuous and bumpy that ride might have been. And then, and what makes this chapter unique is that it does not stop there. But verse 25 is the money verse at this point. Because not only did God create the universe, and not only has God remained intimately involved in the historical narrative of the Jewish people as a whole, but nosein lechem lechobasar. For me, as an individual, what does all this mean? He also cares about me, and he cares about my needs, and he cares about you, and he cares about your needs. So these three elements is what makes this not just halal, but halal hagadol. Because the halal you and I read this morning, what we call halal hamitzri, why is it called halal hamitzri, the Egyptian halal? Because a lot of what it talks about is Hashem throughout history. It doesn't talk about God as the creator of the universe. It talks about Hashem as the historical Hashem. Right? But Seis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, when the Jewish people came out of Egypt. It's, again, I don't mean this in a derogatory way. I'm just saying, I'm making a point. It's almost like a one-string violin. Okay, there's one note to the Hallel that we read this morning. It's Hashem as the God of history. Hallel HaGadol, our chapter, is a violin of many strings. It has it has many components to it, and it's melodious in that fashion, because it doesn't just talk about Hashem who took us out of Egypt, and it doesn't just talk about Hashem as the Hashem who created the universe, but it also talks about Hashem who cares about us in a very intimate way. I'll share with you a beautiful extension of this idea. Go back to page 3 of your little source pack. And again, I'm sorry there's a lot of bouncing around, but I'm not so sorry. You know, it's like in tennis, Wimbledon now. Mm-hmm. So etiquette in tennis. Any tennis players? When you hit a shot that like skips off the net and therefore throws off your opponent, so you're supposed to say, I'm sorry. You're not sorry. You won the point. You won the point. So anyways, I'm not really sorry, but I'll go with it anyways. Look at source number 6. This was worth the price of admission right here. Okay, if you get nothing else out of this class. Source number 6 is the Siddur of the Vilna Gaon. The first 3 lines should be very familiar to you, even in the Hebrew. It's the Brach of Asher Yatzar. You and I come out of the bathroom. All right, we started off today referencing many people who are in dire need of a refuah shleima. We're going to say Tehillim momentarily for people that need a refuah, right? No shortage of people whose bodies and bodily functions are not working properly. So for us, those of us who it's working properly, every time we come out of the bathroom, it's our opportunity to thank Hashem for this incredible miracle, this gift. So Asher Yatzar Es Adam B'Chachma, V'Ravo Nekavim Nekavim, Chalalim Chalalim, he created all these holes, crevices, things that could go wrong, basically. And then we say, Galoi V'Yadua Lifnei Kisei Kvodecha. Hashem, it is crystal clear before Kisei Kvodecha. Before your, how do you translate that? Your holy throne, right? Your throne. That if you were to make one of these bodily functions go bad, even momentarily, kaput, we'd all be out. Okay? Sorry to be blunt. Okay? Says the Vilna Gaon, isn't that striking language? Is there any other point in the Siddur where you and I say, Galoi v'yadu alifnei kisei kvodecha? Any other point? Any other bracha? Any other point in the Siddur? I'll save you the answer. There is none. And if you were going to put that in any bracha, don't you think this is a strange bracha to reference God's holy throne, the most transcendent, reverent description of Hashem, and I'm saying it after I just went to the bathroom? Isn't that strange? Says the Vilna Gaon, that's exactly the point. Because when you and I go to the bathroom, when we are ready to thank Hashem for our most basic bodily needs, and then we reference Big God, that's what makes the brach of Asher Yatzar so special. That we're coming to Hashem, we're saying, Hashem, you are not just the Hashem who's lifnei kisei kvodecha. You're not just a transcendent God. You're not just a God who created the world and abandoned us. You're not just Hashem that takes care of the Jewish people on a macro level, but doesn't take care of my, Philip Moskowitz's, distinct, personal, individualized needs. But you're both. And that, says the Vilna Gaon, is what we communicate in this bracha. He says, in the second line, of the where it gets a little smaller there, again, if you can't read it, I'll translate. Ha'omrim she'akadosh baruch hu i'efshar she'ashkiach al olam ha'shafel. There are those who want to argue that Hashem, that God is only the big God, that He's the God that created the universe, that He's the God who takes care of us in history. But for Hashem to take care of like bodily functions, pasnish. I'm saying it's embarrassment. It's a total bizayon. It's a total embarrassment to Hashem that He would care about a bathroom. So therefore, lakach, therefore says the Vilna Gaon specifically in this bracha, Anu Omrim, we say, She'afilu lifnei kisei kvodecha, that even in the bathroom, even in my most basic, disgusting bodily needs, she'afilu hamalachim agvom omdim kama ravei roz parsos, where even the angels want nothing to do with it, says the Vilna Gaon. Afilu misham, even there, when you and I are coming out of the bathroom, hu mashkiach al dvarim shvalim ba'ila. God cares about even these most basic, trivial, needy, disgusting components of us. So we say, galoi v'yadua lifnei chiseich vodecha, Hashem, it is not a contradiction that on the one hand you created the universe, and on the other hand you care that my body worked just now when I went to the bathroom. That is the ultimate praise we can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is what we say in chapter 136 of Tehillim. Ashrei has one component of it. Hallel, classic Hallel, has one component of it. This chapter has all components of it. It's God as the creator, God on a macro level for the Jewish people, and no sin lechem l'chobas Hashem. You didn't just create the universe, but thank God you gave me coffee this morning. Thank God you allowed my body to work. There's no contradiction between you being big God and you being little Hashem. We say this in Tehillim elsewhere, and I'll just share with you. We say it this morning, and this is what Rav Matityahu Solomon in source number 7 says, but I will not even read it in there. I'll simply read it for you in a chapter of Tehillim that you and I said this morning. We say this morning, in the very first chapter of Hallel, that you and I say, it's chapter 113 of Tehillim, we say, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avde Adonai, Hallelujah, Shem Hashem. Right? We're praising Hashem. Yi Shem Hashem Mevarach Me'atavi Adolam. That God's name should be praised forever. Mimizrach Shemesh Am. Right? Again, we're talking about big God right now. Mimizrach Shemesh Am Mevaholah. Ram Al Kogoyim Hashem. Hashem Ram means that you are higher than everybody. Al Hashemayim Kivodo. So far, we're like up in the higher stratospheres of the heavens. Okay, transcendent, distant. And then what do we say? Mi kadonai elokeinu. Who is like you, my God? Hamagbi la shaves, who dwells on high. Hamashpili, liros bashamayim of aret. Hamashpili means, mashpil means to?
Influence.
You go down. You're going down, Hashem. Liros bashamayim of aret. You're not just in the stratospheres, but you come down to pay attention to us. And then what do we say? It's an amazing line. You probably never noticed it, but you will now. Mikimi me'afardal. Mikimi means to
raise
me. Me'afardal. Me'afar means from the dust. And dal means poor. Raise up the poor from the dust. Music stop. Wait a second. We were talking about Hashem. Ramal kol goyim Hashem. Hashem is so high up. Hashem is so elusive. And now we're saying, Hashem, pick us up off the dirt, right? Dirt is no different than the bathroom. It's disgusting. It's beneath Hashem. What do we say? Mikim me'afardal. Hashem, lift us up off the dirt. What are the next words? Me'ashpot yarim evyon. What's an ashpa?
Garbage.
Garbage, Hashem. Me'ashpot yarim evyon. When you feel like you're in the garbage, that you're not worthy of that relationship with Hashem, that things aren't going right, we say, me'ashpot yarim evyon. You, the Hashem, who 2 seconds ago were Ram al Kol Goyim, it's no different. Now I'm asking you to pick me up off the dirt. Lo shivi imni divim imni divayamo, and to return me to my status as a prince, to the table of the prince. That's exactly what we've been talking about. That's the ultimate praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate praise of Hashem, is that he's Ram al Kol Goyim. There's no contradiction between that and Me'ashpot Yarim Avion. Hashem, I want you to get in the garbage dumps with me where I feel like I am right now at my place in life, and I want you to lift me up. Because I know you care about me just as much when I'm in the dumps as when I am with the Nidivim im Nidivei Amo. That's chapter 136 of Tehillim. When we say this every single Shabbos morning, when we say this in our recitation of Tehillim, we're saying something extraordinary, we're saying something that is worthy of the description of Hallel HaGadol. That was how we started off our class. Why is it called Hallel HaGadol? It seems to have nothing going for it. It was 0 for 2. It was striking out every time. But there's something very special. There's something really meaningful about this chapter of Tehillim. And that is that it touches upon all of our interactions with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Hashem created the universe. He's what we call the big God. Hashem has guided the Jewish people on a macro level throughout history. He remains involved with us as a people. In the end, the clincher, the climax of that relationship with Hashem is no sin lechem l'chobasar. Despite the fact that you're big God, you also ensured that I had food on my table last night. You also ensured that I went to the bathroom this morning. You also ensured that even though the times in my life when I feel that I'm in the ashpa, that I feel like I'm in the dumps and in the garbage because I'm not worthy of that relationship with you, I have that emuna me'ashpot yarim evyon. Even in those moments, you come, you meet me there, and you raise me up from there. And that is why this is called Halal HaGadol. So it's not just 26 verses of thanking Hashem. It's the way we thank Hashem. It's how we thank Hashem. And more importantly, it's how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because hopefully now, when we recite this chapter of Tehillim, again, both every day when we say it on Shabbos morning as part of the official structure of our davening, when we come to it the Seder night, right? We'll have to, maybe around Pesach time, talk a little bit more about its placement in the Seder night. It's most likely because we take it from Tehillim, right? From the Shabbos morning davening, because from there we go into Nishmas, Kochai, right? But the Seder night has a different structure to it. We could talk about that a little closer to Pesach, but it's definitely something to think about, hopefully appreciate, not only in our regular recitation of Tehillim, but also in our davening on Shabbos morning as well. Everyone have a wonderful week.